Before I start the show, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. Her name is Faye Navarro, and she's a victim of the campfire over there in California, don't you know?
Yeah.
She lost everything. I'm just going to read you something she put on her GoFundMe page. "We lost everything in the campfire that is still very active. We, like many others, only have the clothes on our backs. Thankfully, my family is still safe. We are currently trying to get back into a rental to start to move forward. Not asking for much, just a little help. This is very difficult for all those affected. Pray and help where you can. Our home was on Andover Drive in Maglia." I think that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
"If you need more information or proof to validate this loss, I have no problem. Thank you very much." I can speak for Faye Navarro. I've had her on the show a couple times. She's a paranormal expert, investigator, part of the Double Trouble team. She's a friend of mine, and she has a GoFundMe. It's under Campfire Victim, Faye Navarro, Emergencies in Maglia, California. If you can help, please do. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
You've tuned into Wisecracking with Winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that ends in Y. It's time for Wisecracking with Winter!
I don't give a screw.
I bet you can't even believe your ears that I'm back this quick. Usually I do a show, and then I take like 2 months off, get divorced, rearrange my life, and come back. But not anymore!
I would have never guessed that.
Nope. I am, as you already know, gentle listeners, I'm living at my father's house, otherwise known as the Big G Studios.
Goddamn right.
Here in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota, city of 10,000 lakes. It's not a state of 10,000 lakes. There's literally 10,000 lakes in Minneapolis, and I strongly encourage you to come check it out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, and I say this at the beginning of every show, it's another huge show. Why do you say that? Well, I have a magician in the studio. Whoa! A real magician. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Roger Wells. He lives here in the Twin Cities. And today we're not going to be talking about magic. I know there's a lot of you out there breathing a sigh of relief, or there may be some nerdy kids at home crying their fucking eyes out in their pillow that we're not going to be talking a ton about magic. Because magic is not really a medium for the radio. You know, you're breathing into the mic. You're like,
sorry.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Roger Wells, give it up for him at home.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going great.
It's fantastic to be here. How long has it been since you asked me or mentioned that I should come and do a podcast with you?
I think it's been about 3 years.
3 years? Holy shit. Yeah, a lot happened, you know? I mean, I guess I'm sort of followed this the same rhythm that you did, you know, where I decided to get divorced and then come around and do a podcast. I think that's the MO now, right? Get divorced, go do a podcast.
That is how you restart your life.
I think so.
You know? Yeah. I was doing the podcast while married, but it wasn't nearly as good as it is now.
Well, it's like our good friend Alex or Dan Cole used to say, you're either on to something or on something.
Dan Cole of KFAN Radio here in the Twin Cities. Are you an avid listener of
KFAN? Not anymore.
No.
No, I don't really follow sports anymore.
Sports?
I hang out with a bunch of nerdy kids, you know, when we talk magic. Actually, truth be told, I took a job, you know, so you and I, Mike, go way back with driving as a time where we got reintroduced, because the actual first time we met was in high school, Roosevelt. Yeah, baby.
Good old Roosevelt High School.
Roosevelt Senior High in South Minneapolis. We both forgot quickly, but we did remember each other and then met each other at our gig at Shredded. Can I use their name on the air? Are we advertising for them by saying that?
We are not advertising or...
Sorry, that was our good friend Merle.
We're not advocating for Shredded.
I miss you, Merle, by the way.
I don't think Merle Cundy is a listener.
No?
Merle Cundy is an old manager of ours from back in the day.
Yes. So, you know, we both of us have a background of doing a lot of stuff in transportation over a couple decades plus, yeah?
Yes.
And so I decided that I was going to get back into my business of being a magician, which I took up originally back in our days at Roosevelt. You know, that's where I first found the craft, so to speak. And then, I had a couple goes of it in my 20s, and it went really well one of those times, but I decided this was it. You know, it's like midlife crisis thing, but instead of being able to buy a vet or marrying some 19-year-old girl,
right,
I decided to get back into magic.
Tell us about your time in Las Vegas when you were out doing magic out there.
I did some magic out there, but that was just during the time of a convention, and I did get to open for Penn & Teller, but that was locally here at Mystic Lake Casino. One of the best compliments I got, actually, that I had to whip right up on the website for a testimonial was somebody who called the entertainment director and said that I equaled the Penn & Teller show, and I was like, well, clearly... they've only seen two magicians then in their entire life.
Right.
Because they have no buffer of realizing. Penn and Teller, much love. I give a lot of love to those guys. They're brilliant. They've been at it for over 40 years. So I know that I'm not rivaling Penn and Teller, but it was very flattering nonetheless. And I do think, like everything in my life, we're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But everything
right.
I do, I've pretty much always done to the beat of my own drum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Who's the best magician right now?
I still got to go ahead. Well, I got to say the Shin Lim, you know, and what he's doing on America's Got Talent is one of the most progressive efforts I've seen in magic in a long time, really because of his backstory and his ambition. And, you know, he really caters to both sides, to the audience and also to magicians. He's got a lot of things going on at work, and it's easy to admire what he's doing. But
Chris Angel is clearly the best.
No, right. Chris Angel can suck a crickets insert here.
Dun, dun, dun! Controversy! Controversy alert! Why don't you respect the magic of Chris Angel?
In one word...
The mind freak.
Fraud.
A fraud.
He's just a fraud, man. He's just a market. He's a tool. You know? I mean, I'm sorry, but I'll say if I had to pick a magician that I think is really the best representation of magicians and what people are seeing as magic nowadays and who I admire, has still got to be David Blaine. And David Blaine did one trick, and Chris Angel and his people said, wait a minute, why stop there with a little bit of TV editing? Why not make an entire gothic fucking character out of Chris Angel and then have him do a whole bunch of illusions, really, that are just being done in studios and highly edited and spliced and cut after the fact, and then everybody at home thinks that they're seeing live, interactive, spontaneous
wow.
miracles, and it's all a fraud.
How do you know this?
Because I'm a fucking magician.
Have you been to the Magic Castle?
No, actually, but my next, it's in the lineup is for me to actually perform there. So that's a huge venture for me. And there's a lot of great things on the horizon that I'm looking forward to. So myself included, I'm hoping maybe next year or the year after America's Got Talent for myself as well. But right now, I'm just trying to raise my daughters and get my career going, and I'm doing any and every kind of show just to increase the revenue to get to the end game.
You do any swingers conventions? You said anything.
Next subject, please.
Okay. How about... Well, you're clearly a good magician, and you managed to pull off the greatest trick of all. You made your marriage disappear. How'd you do that?
Well, that was really methodical. It took 17 years to... come to fruition. I tried all kinds of different approaches and techniques, but none of them worked. I mean, the rising wand illusion didn't work. No matter what I did with that, it just didn't provide the happiness. And then the dialogue, it just nothing worked, man. And so it was like, everybody always says, oh, you can't do it for the kids. You can't stay together for the kids. And I'm going to call bullshit on that because I think kids are a pretty good reason to try. But
doesn't it eventually just make your home life that much worse?
It absolutely does, but it's like the disillusionment. That's my own illusion that I put on myself.
Right.
I was like hoping that it could be something different, and it just wasn't going to be.
So you're going to subscribe to the theory that I was preaching on the last show that if your marriage is failing, try, try, and try, But I think you know deep down inside when it's done and it's time to stop trying, and you really should stop at that point.
No, truth be told, though, I got to, you know, piggyback on that and say that I really did know 4 years before I, you know, pulled the trigger and said, let's have a serious conversation. But I would say it really just takes the courage, you know, and I've met men, women, I've met women that I've dated online that I'm sure we'll talk about. But a lot of people, when they finally just dropped the gauntlet, it was courage. They just said, enough.
Right.
You know, and they made the decision. It's a hard one to make.
Was it that hard?
It was hard. You know, that's why it took 4 years. 4 years that really I felt saw it going downhill for 6 years out of that 17-year relationship. But you know what I mean? It's like, man, it was hard. But the moment that I made that decision and then left, I felt liberated, man.
I felt the same thing.
Oh, my God. The shackles were off, finally.
Right. And it started a trend. There's like 4 or 5 of my friends now, and we're all divorced. We all got married like right around the same time.
It's because they see what freedom looks like, baby.
Exactly. And you and I got married within a month of each other, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that all plays out, you know, and myself included, many people that I've met, not only divorced, but I've been surprised by how many guys I've met that also got sober, surprisingly.
After they got divorced?
Some before, but some of them after as well. So it's kind of a blend on that front. But I think there just comes a point, you know, in your life where you're like, enough is enough of all of it. And maybe that's just a middle-aged thing across the board with everybody. You know, you get over 30, you start seeing what the grind is looking like, and then somewhere in that period, you know, and then for some of us like you and I, like I'm a slow learner and a fast forgetter. And so
right.
You know, I was always late to blossom on everything, including puberty. Wah, wah, wah. And I just...
Well, you just saved me the trouble having to edit that in later. So
you're right. I'm no Carnage the Executioner, but, you know, no beatbox extraordinaire, but I got some good sound effects and voices. We'll get to that in the next podcast. Nevertheless, it's just, yeah, you get to that point where you just go, enough. Like, there's only one life to live, and I'm going to really try to enjoy this life and stop just settling.
I realize that for guys out there, and there's some gals, too, that listen, that are married. Excuse me, I'm getting over a head cold. This conversation may be a little boring for you because you don't want to sit there and listen to two newly minted bachelors.
I don't want to listen to two guys tied. I didn't come over here for this shit.
Right. Well, there was the money. You got the money, right?
I got the money. I got the spliff. Also, there's free Wi-Fi here, so that's another nice fringe benefit.
My dad paid you on the way in, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, good.
With a Polaroid.
So, those Polaroids, he's handing them out like hotcakes. Yeah. We can get into those later, too. But... So for those of you that are out there married and you don't want to listen to two guys sit and talk about how great it is to be divorced, I think you should really sit and hear us out because there's a lot of knowledge that can be gained from this. I mean, right now your marriage could be great, and if your marriage is going really well, then God bless. I believe in the sanctity of marriage, and if it's two people that get along great and whatever, then God bless. But if you guys are not getting along and you're just thinking about sticking it out until you end up dying young of stress or some, you know, some kind of heart failure or stroke because your blood pressure is like 200 over fucking 90. Is this boring you?
What? No, I think that you're spot on. I mean, I do, but I think that you had it nailed when you said that nobody wants to hear this and we should segue into something, you know? There's that great Mark Twain quote where he says, I would have written less if I had more time. And so I think that the paraphrased version of that for us here is that we would have said less, but we don't want to run out. We're running out of time. So does that make any sense to you?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
what
like
do you
less is more.
What do you want to segue into?
I don't know. Should we talk about what happens in the fun with online dating after divorce?
What was it like
that
first month when you got out from under?
Well, I didn't go. I wasn't like out of the starting gates like a horse in a derby, you know. It wasn't like the gates open and here I come. No pun intended. But I'm just saying that it was like... Sincerely, I just wanted to indulge in the liberation and the freedom. And I started dating women from a particular social circle, and that was the wrong approach. They were all nuts. Nice little segue about that, too, by the way, that okay. I found out about what nuts really is when it comes to dating. Nevertheless, my roommate at the time, Tim, he said, "Hey, have you ever heard of Tinder?"
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, just like, duh, what's that? Right. I had no clue what Tinder was. I never even heard the six letters of Tinder put together in that word. I didn't know. So I go online, I go to the App Store, I download it, and my mind just went... It was an explosion of holy flying fucking Jesus. I can't believe that this is what's going on out here. Oh, my God.
And explain it for some of the older listeners out there that don't know what exactly the Tinder app is.
Okay, so it's just an access only. I'm so super happy that we're going to have... You want to talk about wisdom? I'm going to let... Because it's a huge platform, right?
Right.
And I mean, it's got to be like... Would you guess that worldwide hundreds of thousands of users?
Oh, for sure.
Millions even? Maybe a million?
Maybe a million.
I don't know, but I will say there's enough people in the Twin Cities at least to say that you're getting it all wrong, man. You just got to recognize what it is. It's an access-only site.
Well, define access-only site.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Tomorrow, in a given day, you go out and about in the community, running errands, hanging with your kiddo, whatever it is, okay? And this is alleging, in case you were single, which you're not anymore.
Right.
But you go about your day, you might in the whole day see some woman that you find really attractive and you go, huh, I wonder what her story is.
Sure.
You don't even know if she's single.
No.
You don't know if she's looking.
Nope.
You don't know if she even would have an interest in you.
No idea.
Well, guess what Tinder does? It at least allegedly puts people on that claim that they're looking, even if they're married and shouldn't be looking.
Did you run into a lot of that?
There were a couple that were married, and I just said no thanks and passed on. I also went out with a polygamist, and that was kind of weird and creepy. She had some problems. But nevertheless...
How many sister wives did she have?
She didn't have any. She had a little social circle of male lovers that her and her husband had approved.
How many dates did this last?
Just two for me.
How did you even get to two after you found that out?
Well, because what happened in the first one wasn't so bad. So I was.
So you
like,
had sex with her on the first day?
Shut the front door.
No, we don't know who she is. You're not going to give out her first and last name, I'm sure.
Well, let me think about that, actually.
I just heard from the legal team, Richie Barrister, and he says no names, please.
No, I'm not going to say names. I'm actually trying to think if it was the first. I think it was a... See, it's like sometimes you dialogue with people and then you meet, and so it's kind of a blur as to, like, did we interact for, like, a week? And then it actually was the first time that we met in person that we were physical. You know what I mean? It's kind of a blur.
Why would you want to be physical with someone that has multiple husbands? Or
I think I watched Kinsey that night.
What's Kinsey?
You know, he was the sex doctor that revolutionized our view of sex and attempted to anyways from his angle. But truth be told, I mean, I genuinely was trying to be open-minded in the sense that I didn't know what it was like. I never had a polygamous mentality or attitude, and I thought, well, it's not like they're just broken human beings. Maybe there's something that I really don't understand. Kind of like scotch.
No, they're broken.
No, I hated scotch the first time I ever tried it, and then I could gobbled it up by the gallon. So I thought, maybe this is something that I'm just being closed-minded and judgmental about.
Okay, so
that's really why I tried.
Tell us the story. We want to hear the story now.
No, we don't want to hear the story about that. Although I will tell you, if anybody's ever seen the episode of Louie where he gets together with the mom of another daughter that his daughter's classmates with, and she's like, if you ever want to hook up sometime, that'd be cool. And then he goes over there, and they're doing it from behind. Uh-huh. And then she's like saying, yes, daddy. Oh, please, daddy. And then finally she turns that into, it goes from like, oh, yes, daddy. I'm sorry, daddy. Daddy, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. And Louis freaks out. Here's the truth. With this lady, she kind of did a similar thing where she started freaking out During the course and having like a backflash of some other dude in her social
what?
Circle of lovers. And I was like, whoa, way too weird. This is weird. So it was
weird.
So what
did you do? Did you just stop?
No, I think we like went about doing what we did the rest of the night, just hanging out. And then it like very quickly evaporated after that. So I was very dissuaded at that point.
That must have been mega uncomfortable.
Oh, it was super uncomfortable. But you know what,
wow.
Mike? I met so many people. Obviously, for me, it was women because I wasn't dating men. Sorry, dudes. But, you know, I really saw a large range of insecurities, fears, angers, expectations, demands. So I really tried to not be judgmental and just see. But, when I did a little self-inflection, I realized this isn't for me. It's not what I want.
So if you don't understand how Tinder works, you basically swipe right if you like them and left if you don't.
You're correct.
You see pictures. I used it myself for a few weeks.
And you don't have to pay for it. You can.
Yeah.
$20, I think, like that or something like that a month if right. you want to have unlimited swiping. But, you know, if you have any game at all, you really don't need to pay for it at all.
No. So you swipe right if you like, left if you don't. Did you primarily swipe right just to increase your odds?
Oh, I mean, I just like visually took in really, really fast on the front end. I just went like here would be a sort of MO of how I would do it. It'd be like right, 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 left, left, right, left, right, 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 left, 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 right, yeah. left, right, 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 right.
And then eventually you'd run out of pictures, though.
You do run out of pictures, but it's like that's okay because you probably just swipe through about 50 to 100 people. And so then it's like somebody swipes on you and disco, you've got a match.
How many of these turn into one night stands?
I'd like to plead the fifth on that one.
How about an over under number? Would you say 20? So over or under?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
Why don't? Okay, so we'll say.
Okay,
it was over
can
20.
I just say this? That I'll say this to your assistants. All right.
Okay.
I went through two little streaks. The one was where I had the mind-blowing experience of, oh, my God.
Right.
You know, and that was at, like, I don't know, 2 to 3 months after being liberated.
Uh-huh.
And then I went through it again after my last girlfriend, you know, because I just wanted to kind of, like, get her out of my head and system, you know?
Wash her right out of your pubic hair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for the reference.
You're
and,
welcome.
Gonna wash that. It puts a whole different slant on that song, doesn't it?
It does.
Gonna wash Makes that gray right out of your hair. Although I'm happy to say that at 44, nothing's gone gray down there yet, so.
Well, kudos.
Thanks.
Did you run into any gray hairs?
On my, oh. The range of women that I did actually was from 28 to 55.
Shut the front door. You dated a woman that was double nickels?
Yeah.
What did you do? You picked her up at like 4 o'clock to go have dinner.
I picked her up at the daycare.
At a daycare?
Yeah, you know, the senior daycare.
Oh, the adult daycare.
Yes.
Nurse walked her out into your van.
I pulled up in the shuttle bus. And
nice. What do you talk about with a woman that's 55 years old?
Led Zeppelin. What else?
Right? Was she like,
you know,
a hippie
they're the group
chick?
That, what's that?
Was she like a hippie chick or something?
No, actually, she was married to like a dude who was nearly a millionaire and just one of those dudes that chased dough his whole life and didn't know how to say or do one thing to really give a crap about her. You just, here's your role. I make all the money, give you this amazing life, and then you just live it.
Oh my God, was it Donald Trump?
No, I'm sorry. That is not, nah, it sounded like Donald Trump. No. But, you know, so it's like a lot of women, what I found is they kind of really just like something that's very refreshing from what they've had for a long time, you know?
So you were broke, so that was refreshing?
Yeah, broke the whole way through. By the way, you want some tips, guys? I sincerely think that I should open up an app. I'll charge you $20, okay? We can pay by PayPal or, you know, check, cash, what have you. Well,
right.
Really cash or PayPal. And you send me $20. Okay, you send me your pictures. You just text them to me, you know, like your favorite, like 10 pictures of yourself, and you tell me what you kind of think you are, and I will create a profile for you that I guarantee will increase the success that you have of swiping for women on Tinder, because they're really just looking for somebody who is authentic, somebody who says something refreshing and somebody that makes them think, oh, this isn't going to be pressuring. It's going to be like, we'll see what happens.
What do you consider a refreshing statement?
Oh, wow. I mean, I'll tell you, like, I didn't do bits and lines. Like, it's like, what would sound really good? I just, like, thought to myself, I don't know, what's something that somebody doesn't say?
How about this?
I'll tell you what I said most of the time.
That sweater would look great crumpled on my bedroom floor the next morning.
That sounds like something you would have said. How long did it take to get your first date?
Oh, an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
See? So this is just testimony, fellas, that no matter how big of a D-bag you could be,
exactly,
that you could still...
I didn't use that line. I was just telling a joke.
All right. So I'd say something generic. I'm sure it sounds like really just bleh, but I would say, what's putting worthwhile smiles in your life lately? I know. It sounds kind of generic and bland, but they'd be like... my daughter and the work I'm doing recently, how about you? And it's like, honestly, I've got a fairly dynamic life with a lot of interests, and so I always had something to say back and kind of get the ball rolling and engaging them. I also found that most women said, oh, I don't give out my number. I don't talk until blah, blah, blah.
Until and what? What's the blah,
I don't
blah,
know.
Blah.
Like, they'd meet you in person was usually the thing. I even dated a woman where I met her in person, and she wasn't going to tell me even her first name until the second date.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
What'd you call her the entire date?
She told me a name, like the name that she used for her online profile. I don't remember what it is now, like Misty or...
Emerald?
You know, it's Emerald. Some kind of stage name, you know?
Right, a stripper name.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then she's like, I don't normally go on a second date ever, but in this case, I'd like to see you again. And then I talked to her on the phone, and I said, before you come over, I'd really like to know what your name is. And she lost her shit and thought I was being pressuring.
Pressuring?
Yes. I'm telling you, man, there are some psychopaths. And also, the dudes, you're not any better, man. The wiener demeanor, you got to stop sending the dick pics, fellas.
I did hear that from a couple of gals, including my current girlfriend, that when she was using these dating apps, she would get a lot of dick pics.
Yeah.
Like, primarily dick pics.
Yeah, and I'm not...
Time.
And I'm sincerely not bragging. I have a very healthy penis, and so this isn't being said by guys who are like, oh, that's because you have a little pecker. No, it's because it's just stupid, man. It's tasteless. Like, if she gives you a cue where she really would like to see it or says, I'd like to, then go ahead and send it. But just sending it thinking that'll be impressive, wow. And I'm sure you're getting some action, too, by doing the same swiping action that I do. You just kind of keep going through the numbers, keep sending your dick pics, and then eventually something strikes.
Well, it really turned her off of the whole thing. I mean, she'd find somebody and, you know, before me, and you know, she'd like him and want to have like a conversation, and then she would get nothing but crotch shots, and which turned her off to the whole thing. I mean, she wouldn't even look at it after that. And what's the point? I mean, that would be really disheartening for a woman, don't you think?
Absolutely.
When you're just looking to meet somebody nice and all you get back is pornography.
Yeah, and I've shared my, you know, my reasonable amount of nude photos. Like, if you're, you know, I mean, I
prefer Polaroids.
Okay, I think Polaroids are great, but, you know, then you gotta wait a fortnight, you know, for them to come. And then they might have lost the luster, you know?
True that.
So, nevertheless, the gal that I've been seeing for the last few months, I'm super crazy about. In fact, I love her. And, yeah, you know, I enjoy sharing that with somebody that you care about. So, if there's anybody that I care about and you want to share that stuff, then it's totally cool. But just doing it on the front end, I just got to say, man, on the majority or on behalf of at least the just, I don't know, I would fairly say 4 dozen women, many of them very beautiful, saying that they are so sick of the dudes that do that. So I don't know what their demographic is where they're getting their success by doing it. Maybe they're just sending it to everybody and they're always winding up with some like, girl. And they're just hoping that the woo girl will say, I like it. Let's meet up. Or they're drunk enough, something.
Sure.
But all in all, it's just like, it's really just kind of crushes the whole overall attitude of what Tinder is. So I heard a lot of people go, Tinder's the hookup site. I'm like, not in my experience.
Yeah, that's what I was told when I told a few of my friends that I was on there. They said, well, that's a hookup site. Like
it used to be. It used to be when it started.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking to meet people. I wasn't even necessarily out hunting, you know, to get laid. Just wanted to meet some new people, but
yeah, no, I did both, but I just kind of thought I just want to have fun, like even if that means like I would literally say like I could go co-shopping at Target, you know, and I could have just as much fun doing that, or if they were like, you know, I'd really like you to come and be more than that, I'd be like, okay, that sounds like fun too. So, you know, I was pretty open. I just wanted, I'm really social, you know, I just wanted to hang out with men, women, everybody.
Right.
Not men to date, but, you know, friends, women that I meet online, anybody, just to hang out.
You know, but I got to thank the dating, and then there's more, you know, dating apps out there other than Tinder. There's a bunch. There's OkCupid, and there's Plenty of Fish, and there's Match, and there's a bunch. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have met my girlfriend that I also love, by the way. So, I mean,
what's her name? That.
Her name is Tamara.
Okay, so is that a stage name?
I'm not going to say if it is or isn't.
Okay. You know, you just reminded me of, folks, I'm going to tell you, honestly, like live right now, I'm actually deleting the post that I put on my business page that says I'm going to be on Wisecracking with Winter.
Oh, that's cool because I advertise it anyway. So,
but do you know why I decided to delete it?
Why?
Because I realized that this kind of content might not be the best for like clients that are like, huh, what's Wisecracking with Winter? And then hearing me talk about this. They might not be quick to say, let's have him as our next magician.
They don't want a guy that's into real talk.
Yeah. Well, you know, they like it after the magic.
Yeah. What do they think you're going to do? Do they think you're going to show up and just like, okay, before we start the magic, kids, let me tell you about my dating life and all my triumphs. No. I don't think it matters
so
either way.
I should not have talked about that?
No, you should. Because people don't care. In today's society, people just don't care, dude.
They don't care. You say something even profoundly inspirational, and they're like, oh, my God. Holy crap. That was so meaningful and true. And then 5 minutes later, they're thinking about what the new like iPhone is that they're going to be getting. So, you know, can we talk about something else that's not really controversial, but I just want to put out on the show as a complaint?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, for all of you people that drive down Highway 62 going specifically in the eastbound direction, right around Portland Avenue, there's a project where a lot of different state, county, city put a lot of money, millions, into reconstructing the crosstown some years ago, and it was shut down for a long time. And the end result is what we have now. Its own individual lane on the left side that goes past Portland Avenue and continues to be its own fucking lane on the left side. Why are we in a parking lot every day?
Because we have not the greatest Department of Transportation.
Oh, my God, they drive me nuts. Although I will admit that in a commercial vehicle, hitting the air horn in the right lane when I'm trying to get off on Portland Avenue is really amusing.
Yeah.
For all those douchebags that wait until the very last minute to merge left.
There's a name for that. It's a slip-in.
A slip-in?
It's a slip-in.
That sounds like the guys who send the dick pics.
Exactly.
Are you the same people?
They're trying to slip in.
You're the same guys, aren't you?
Yeah. It's called a slip-in where you wait for the last minute.
Wait for the last minute.
And then you try to slip in.
Take, take, take.
You don't want to wait in line with the rest of the people.
You don't want to wait in line.
You want to slip it in.
No.
All right. Speaking of slipping things in,
yeah.
Great segue.
Slip it in.
I got to do a commercial.
All right.
Let me just cough first. So, Roger.
Yeah.
If you like my podcast, we don't know that you do because you've never, you've listened to it once.
I like the one that I'm on.
Okay. You should check out Plotty Pod. Plotty Pod is the think tank that answers the questions nobody asked. Like, what would you do if Michael Cera kidnapped your uncle? What would you do, Roger Wells?
Sorry, rephrase. I was actually looking up Plotty Pod because I wanted to look at it too.
Okay. What would you do if Michael Cera kidnapped your uncle?
I'd say you can keep him.
I think I'd be on. All my uncles have passed away. So I guess I don't qualify for this one. Would you rather be Trump's wife or Putin's mistress?
Putin's mistress.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
I've never been to Russia.
I think you'd end up dead.
I've got simple needs.
I guess. And if you could choose any publication at all to publish your nude photo shoot, what would it be?
Well, that's easy. What's the highlights? The one that
all the one that kids read. That's nice.
Or Cracked Magazine, one of the two.
I think I'd pick Mad Magazine. Yeah. So those are the kind of things that they talk about on Plotty Pod.
Okay.
All right.
Is it like Pilates? Plotty Pod?
No, it's just Plotty Pod.
How do you spell that, Mike?
P-L-O-W-D-Y-P-O-D.
Okay. Plotty. Plotty Pod.
Plotty Pod. Check it out and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. That's Plotty Pod.
Excellent.
Yeah. You, is your nose like right on, are you like having a hard time breathing?
Yeah, are you hearing me breathe in the thing?
Yeah, like.
Well, it's because I'm overcompensating.
Oh, okay.
For something else.
All right.
No, I actually, because I'm right on top of the mic, and so I realize my nose is like just.
Right.
So I'll get used to it here. Watch. That's probably going to be a little bit better.
Yeah, that's great.
So my voice will be going into the mic instead of my nose.
Right.
All
right. That's where we want it.
Woo!
What did you want to segue into?
That's a good question. Crickets. Crickets. Oh, you know, I got a question for you.
What's that?
So do we do what's the main premise of your show? Do you like to keep it light and playful? Do you like to get into philosophical stuff? Do you talk, is it sports? What's the MO here?
Well, my dad handles the sports.
Your
He'll
dad?
Do like a 2 to 5 minute segment on sports.
Okay, so then let me ask you, what do you want to know? Mike, what do you want? How can I be of service?
Well, we already covered magic, and we already covered Tinder, and we covered what being divorced is like if you're a man in your 40s. Is there anything else worth knowing?
Do I know anything about sobriety at all? That's a deep subject, but that's pretty heavy.
Do you want to talk about that?
Well, here's the thing. It's an interesting dynamic because of the whole anonymity piece, and I'm fairly well-versed in it. And but at the same time, it's an area of my life that pretty much directs and dictates everything that I do. And so in my experience, there's a whole bunch of people that are like, "What? What's it like? What's going on? Why'd you quit drinking, man?"
Well, yeah, most of my audience are active alcoholics.
Oh, I'll bet. You know what women ask me online, by the way, to pin back into the dating?
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, most women, they're like, "You want to meet up for a drink?" And I would just say, "No, I don't drink." And they'd say, "Why?" And I'd just say, "I'm full." So that was a really easy answer. So if you're sober, say, "I'm full."
Okay. Would that turn a lot of women off?
I actually only had one person say to me that they did not want to meet after they found out that I did not drink. I will also tell you, now I'm not shitting you here, I've actually done 12-step calls for women on the first date for like somebody they know because they realize like, "Oh my God, this guy."
What's a 12-step call?
A 12-step call is when you reach out to somebody who's in need, who's struggling with addictions, alcohol, what have you, and you see how you can be helpful to them, get them in a new direction.
You think most of those people just hang the fuck up on you because they don't know you.
Yeah, you would think that. But, you know, it's what we call the gift of desperation. So some people are pretty broken. So they want to be happy.
Have you ever fallen off the wagon?
Yeah, I did. I decided to do what we call research.
Into what?
I wanted to try more drinking about, it's almost 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I had just about 3 years of sobriety. And then I was like, "I got this, man. My life's going well. I've made some new choices that I'm fond of. And I've got this new idea about how to be myself and the best version. So maybe I can drink like a normal person again." You know, so you can go to like hunting or you can go to events or parties with people and not be different, you know? And so I wanted to give it a go.
Uh-huh.
I was wrong. Yeah.
Work out for you?
What's that? No. No, after, well, the first 2 weeks, I was kind of like, "Look at me, Mom, a normie again." But then it was like the girlfriend at the time was going to work, and I was whipping the vodka out of the freezer at 7 o'clock in the morning and like, not starting the day without this first.
So you drank in the morning?
Oh, man, I drank all the time. I drank like a 175 vodka a day in the last 6 months of my drinking.
What was your drink of choice back then?
Well, there's the one that you would prefer, and then there's the one you wind up drinking. And so vodka is naturally the cheapest. By the way, I'm firmly convinced this is a plug for and against the company, I think, at the same time. But Shvedka, I think, is going to turn a lot of people into alcoholics. So
Why do you say
because
that?
Because it's the best tasting, cheapest vodka on the market.
Never had it. Not a big vodka guy.
Yeah, I never was until I realized that for $16 at a discount liquor store, I could get a 175 and be set for the entire day.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was right.
You could drink a 175
a day? Sounds outlandish, but when you start at 7 in the morning and you pull, and then like an hour later you go and take another pull, and you do that all the way until 11 o'clock or midnight, you've basically just done a whole bunch of pulls on it all day long. So like some people come home at 5 o'clock. And they could never drink that much, you know, from 5 to 11. Or maybe they could. But nevertheless, the point is that, you know, I'm super fond of the fact that there actually is a really simple set of instructions that I found. So,
on what? How to drink?
Just on how to live a much different life, how to look at things in a very different way. So, like, some people follow the Ten Commandments, or they follow religion, or they follow, I don't know, something. All I'm going to say about this and close on it is that, you know, it's like I told a friend earlier tonight and I heard in a meeting once, if you're anything like me, you've tried 100 things 1,000 times. Are you willing to do 12 things once?
What are those 12 things? Jerk off in every room of the house? That's probably like five
prayer,
things.
Masturbation. That's definitely one of the steps.
Okay.
No, it's 12 steps. So the 12 things once is doing the 12 steps successfully. Or at least attempting them.
Okay. Well, I don't know where to go with that. I mean,
I think that there's only one step more, the 13th step, and it's the one at the bottom of your stairwell where I should like run out of here before you lose the last listener right now. By the way, how many people do listen to the entire duration of any given podcast?
I don't know. I'm just counting clicks.
Okay. So how many?
This one gets between 5 and 10,000.
Five clicks?
No, 5 and 10,000.
5,000 clicks?
Right. Like so, like
five to 10,000 clicks.
Right. So a click is they clicked play.
Oh, right. Nice. Way to go. And how long have you been running this podcast?
4 years.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
Are you still? You still got a regular day gig too?
I got a regular day gig delivering alcohol. So all this advice you're giving about getting off the bottle,
I gotta go.
Is not helping. Business for me at all.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about how great it was to be a drunk?
You want to know a true story? Oh my God, I never told you this. When I worked with you there, there's a nice inclusion, folks, that me as a sober guy, I delivered booze also to liquor stores.
Which
and
is
bars
impressive.
And restaurants.
Very impressive.
Well, you want to know something even more impressive and enjoyable?
What's that?
I went into one of our stores and I got to know the owner from being there regularly. Or just the regular employee. And so we started talking. Excuse me. And there was a younger gal at the register paying for her stuff. And so the woman who worked there already knew I was a sober guy. So we make some just sort of loose statement about sobriety. And the young gal at the counter, when she buys her stuff and the next guy comes up in line, she steps over to me as the delivery guy, standing there with my two-wheeler and goes, "Is there any chance I could talk to you outside for a minute?" And I went outside and I did a 12-step call with this young lady while I was working delivering booze. I mean, you can't make this shit up. And by the way, that wasn't the only time that happened in the short stint I had at Southern. So it was just crazy. I mean, there was at least a half a dozen people that talked to me about sobriety out of interest. Like they wanted to know more. So, you know, maybe it's a good place to actually go.
They didn't want to partake. They just wanted to know more.
It's like you got to be in the trenches. You know, you really want to do some work. Go in and if you can. You know, like for me, I could always be around booze, kind of like you being drunk right now. I can be around it just fine.
I've done exactly 3 shows sober.
Okay, good.
I don't remember which 3 they are.
Well, you only got one liver. Liver up.
That's anyway. Right.
Nevertheless, I mean, if you can handle it, and many can't, but I always was one of those folks that could be around it without any problem. It's like, yeah, go to the bars, you know, go to the places where people are doing this, because some of those people look really jovial and they're having a great time.
Because they are.
They are at that moment. And then later on, they're...
What are they crying about, Roger?
Oh, you name it, man. They just can't seem to handle much of anything in their life, and that's the one thing that's providing some relief from that pain, is the booze.
Well, I've gotten drunk many times, and I never, you know, not every time has been because I've been in pain. I'd say maybe 1% of the time.
Oh, dude, the majority of the people who drink are not in any pain at all. I'm just saying that there are a lot of people who look like they're having fun, and they've got a serious problem.
Mostly women?
I hope. That's also what we call a 13th step. Those gals go to the meetings, and the guy comes up with like 5 years of sobriety. Hey, glad you're here.
Yeah.
You're really inspired by what you said and that you're trying to be sober. My name's Doug. Whatever
Doug's trying to get laid at the meeting.
Doug's trying to get laid at the meeting. That's the 13th step.
Doug is a class act.
Doug's the guy that cuts in line. He's the slipper and the guy that sends the dick pics.
I kind of like Doug.
Well, maybe you could have him on the next podcast.
Find me a Doug. Bring him here.
Oh, I'll find you a Doug. There's plenty of them around. Maybe I'll just pose as like some really good-looking woman on Tinder and lure them in, you know?
So now, ironically enough, can I say your profession?
Yeah, of course.
You're a school bus driver. I mean, do you think you'd be more satisfied maybe being a drug and alcohol counselor?
I've thought about that. I've thought about a whole lot of fields, but honestly, what I'm wanting to do with Magic does include that. So my long-term goal in my business plan is specifically to actually work in recovery facilities, to be doing a school assemblies, to be working in human service agencies, people who are trying to find their way or are lost, and I can tie in my own experience, strength, and hope that I've gathered in life with entertainment, with Magic. Make it fun so it's not just like cumbersome and like a lecture, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's precisely what I want to do.
So instead of like making a coin disappear behind somebody's ear, you can make a bottle disappear.
I did actually see a guy in treatment do a thing with bottles. He upset a bunch of people.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't like that he came with a bunch of booze bottles.
Was he inserting them in his ass? I mean, what was he doing?
He was trying to make a point or a demonstration with them, and it was not warmly received.
What was the demonstration?
I don't remember. I was newly sober. I don't fucking pay attention.
What was it like to dry out or get into spin dry, as they call it in the business?
We're talking about booze again?
Well, yeah. Coming off...
What is it
alcoholic.
Like to get dry? Fuck, yeah. Man. I mean, the first months are they're not. It's not a cupcake, that's for sure. It's not easy. It's not great. And then the real deal is that once you actually get rid of that obsession of needing to drink, then you start facing an even bigger beast, and that's facing all that stuff that you needed to have booze to hide from that you don't have now.
What drove you to drink? Was it a bad marriage?
Oh, good God, man. Yeah, that would be getting into an inventory and character defects and stuff. You know, it's...
I've known you a long time.
You've known me a long time, but
there's no character defects.
That's the great Magic show. Yeah, man. It really was, you know. I was a closet drinker, you know. Most people didn't even have a clue that I was drinking that amount.
Are you a closet homosexual?
No, I don't think so, but I've considered it, though.
All right.
You know, it's like, that's another consideration after divorce. Kind of like Louis C.K., like, I don't know, maybe I'll do the second half of my life gay. I don't know, I've never done that.
You actually tossed it around in your brain.
I thought about it, but I was like, no, there's just something about hair and balls and a fleshy penis that just isn't as attractive as hips and an ass and breasts that a woman has, so.
Hey, speaking of that, we got to take a second and hear from Minnesota Superior Sound.
I'm really glad that you have commercials.
We'll be right back.
You are looking for a great DJ because you have a wedding coming up, a birthday party, a bat mitzvah, a bar mitzvah, whatever. You're looking for the best DJ possible. Well, let me tell you. You're looking for Minnesota Superior Sound, Minnesota's number one self-acclaimed mobile DJ service. They can get it done for you. Find them on Facebook. That's Minnesota Superior Sound.
So that's Minnesota Superior Sound. Hire them. You can find them on Facebook. That's, well, I already said it. Movies. Now, yeah. You're a movies buff.
Oh, man, I love movies. You ever see that show? Do you remember the show Dream On with Martin Tupper?
Yep.
Oh, I love that show. And I got to say that, like, he like my life is like that character, but instead of it being like old TV shows and being planted in front of the TV and then having these old references to like lines from TV shows, I'm like that with movies. So I'm kind of like a movie dork. So every time I like some like us doing this right now, honestly, what I've thought about the majority of the time has been Mark runs his podcast and the TV show.
Oh, you're talking Mark Maron?
Thank you. I thought about Mark Maron, you know?
Uh-huh.
Except I'm way less famous than any of the people that he has on his show.
Right.
And honestly, I think, truthfully, like I think you're just as funny as Mark is as the host of that show.
Thank you.
You know, he's not that funny as a host for
no,
a show.
No, he really isn't.
He's not. He's a good comic, though. He's a funny guy. Like, when he's acting in the rest of the show, I love his character. But when he's doing the podcast, he's really not that funny.
He's kind of shrill.
Yeah, that's a good word. Did you learn that at Roosevelt, by the way?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
The private school I attended before Roosevelt.
You learn more in the junior high or middle school phase at a private school than you did in high school.
So movies, this is what's out right now.
Yeah.
I'll just go down the list.
Lay it on me. I've only seen two movies in the last 2 weeks.
Nobody's Fool.
Wait, Nobody's Fool?
Yeah.
Nobody's Fool was a Paul Newman movie that was out way back in the day. Is this a remake of the same movie?
No, it's as an all-black cast. And I'm not sure what it's about. Do you know anything about Nobody's Fool?
I don't know anything about Nobody's Fool. Is it a Tyler Perry movie? I'm just saying.
It might
like,
be.
Tyler Perry movies don't typically market to, or I will say that like the best movie I saw that had to do with race was The Hate U Give.
Okay.
So are you familiar with it?
I thought you were going to talk about, what's that old black woman character he does?
The Tyler Perry did? Medea?
Yeah,
Medea or whatever?
I thought you would say like the Medea Halloween movie really spoke to you about race.
No. Okay. No, I actually dig Tyler Perry. I think he's a really awesome dude and what I've seen of him, but he's not the director of The Hate U Give. I'm trying to remember who actually was that directed it. But it's like the first movie now that's been done in the major on the broad spectrum for the national audience or international audience on all of the minorities that have been shot. And when I say minorities, it's predominantly been African Americans that have been shot by police.
Right. That's happening?
I heard it was, yeah. Although I really do love when Chris Rock talks about in his recent stand-up in Tambourine that they really just need to start shooting more white kids so they can just even the playing field. You know, they just like, he says, couldn't you just imagine a bunch of cops sitting around the station and are like, damn, we've killed like 14 black people this month. We better kill us a white kid real soon.
You got to get it out.
Yeah, sad truth, though. We did actually lose a kid out in Chanhassen over the summer who was a teenager. He had some mental health things, and the cops did shoot him dead in his front yard.
But we're getting off subject.
We're getting off subject.
What about Hunter Killer, the new submarine movie?
Is that starring Sean Connery?
No, that was the Hunt for Red October. Hunter.
Is it the pseudo sequel to it?
No. American submarine captain Joe Glass is on the hunt for a U.S. sub in distress in the Arctic Ocean. He soon learns that a secret Russian coup is in the offing.
This is the Hunt for Red October.
It's starting to sound that way. A conspiracy that threatens to dismantle the world order. With crew and country on the line, Glass must assemble an elite group of straight Navy SEALs.
Does it say straight Navy SEALs?
Yeah, because most people assume that everybody in the Navy is gay. You know what? And that's not true. So the
hey, sailor.
Hey there. Want to get on my submarine? To sneak
what's
into
long, hard, and full of semen?
A submarine.
Yep.
Sneak through enemy waters, rescue kidnapped Russian president, and prevent World War III. Okay, so that's pretty much the synopsis there. Does Hunter Killer interest you? Or have you already seen it? It was called The Hunt for Red October.
I can definitively say that until the last breath I have on this planet, I will most likely never take in that movie.
You take it all.
Yeah, I take that submarine.
How about mid-90s?
Yeah.
Have you heard about that movie?
A little bit, but I would see it.
What is that about?
Mid-90s.
The mid-90s? I remember it. It was fun.
No, hey, should we segue that into that Netflix series that they do have, like the 80s and the 90s. Have you watched any of those?
I watched some of it, but now I got to know what mid-90s is about.
Is it actually about like that decade, or is it about people in their mid-90s?
Well, here's what it says. Right. In 1990s Los Angeles, 13-year-old Stevie escapes his turbulent home life by hanging out with a new group of friends he meets at a local skate shop, plunging him into a world of fun, danger, and excitement.
That sounds kind of cool, actually, because I skateboarded. You remember I skateboarded for like a long time.
I know. Skate hard, little boy.
12 to 22, 22 to 32. I skateboarded for 25 years.
I've been playing baseball for 35 years.
And when you say baseball, you mean softball.
Baseball, softball combo mix.
Yeah. But baseball was really just like a about 5 years in your childhood, and it's really been 20 years of softball.
No, I played T-ball all the way to varsity baseball.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a healthy stint, but you have had more years at softball now than you have had at baseball.
I have.
Okay. Are you still playing?
I am.
Is that the only sport you're playing?
Yes. Are water sports a sport?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So based on what I read you, would you go see mid-90s?
Absolutely.
Okay, just because you used to skate.
Well, also it's like nostalgic because I think of it, what I'm taking away from that. I had a pretty traumatic childhood, and so skateboarding and like a lot of things in the 80s, late 80s and early 90s, they were very much like a very fond time in my life. You know, it was like an escape from all that reality. So that's what it sounded like to me in that synopsis.
Oh.
So I could probably identify with a lot of it.
How about Halloween?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I also know Jamie Lee Curtis is in it too, from what I understand.
Yep.
Excellent.
It's been 40 years since
she still looks great, by the way.
She has an amazing chest.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been 40 years since Laurie Strode survived a vicious attack from crazed killer Michael Myers on Halloween night. Locked up in an institution, Myers manages to escape when his bus transfer goes wrong. Laurie now faces a terrifying showdown with the masked madman. Now, in the first movie, she wasn't related to Michael Myers at all. That's when they started doing all those sequels in the 80s.
Exactly.
That was her brother.
Right.
But John Carpenter did this one or signed off on it or something.
Signed on to it.
Did he do anything with it other than the score?
He did not?
No, I don't think he directed it or wrote it.
Okay.
It was directed by David Gordon Green.
Okay.
But I know he signed off on it. It's supposed to be just the only real sequel to the first Halloween.
If they made another Child's Play, would you go see that?
Yes.
Absolutely. I thought that, they nailed it with the remake of It. You know, they did a great job with that.
I liked it.
Yeah. So, what else? I don't know. So we talked about, what was your surprise thing again? Oh, yeah, we're talking about deceitful women. And us getting over our trust issues and being able to be in the now. And
it's
then
all
we start
linked.
Talking about movies.
It's all linked. We get married.
Oh, you know what else I saw was the A Star Is Born, Lady Gaga flick.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to go see that.
Oh, really? Don't.
Uh-oh. So, okay. What's going on
okay,
with that?
Okay. So this was my feedback. And I went and I saw it with my gal. And truth be told, I liked it on the night. And even hindsight, like, yeah, I liked it. Is it going out to the movies worthy? No.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not worth the $45 in tickets?
It's not worth the $45. So catch the matinee, if you can, at the very least. Or wait until it gets to the Hopkins or Riverview Theater and then go see it there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely. So it's like, it's a decent movie. But for me, you got to keep in mind that like being somebody who, even at my mid-level and most of my time as a magician low-level, what would otherwise appear to be just like a hobbyist or part-time guy at it, I've had my great share of exposure to the big names. And within that, I was raised by musicians. And I've got to meet a few, four or five really big blockbuster actors. And so my exposure to celebrities and then my personal experience of trauma in life and then recovery from alcoholism, when I see movies like the one about Amy Winehouse, Amy, and then like A Star Is Born, it's really too melodramatic for me. I'm just like, dude, I'm like around this kind of content on a monthly level, you know. And
what
so,
is A Star Is Born about?
Well, it's a remake, you know. There's been, I think, two previous versions of the same movie. But Bradley Cooper, in his defense, I don't know if it was it his directorial debut.
I don't know. Sure.
So we'll just say sure.
We'll go with it.
So he did a good job. He made a good movie, and he acted really well in it. And Lady Gaga was great too. Recognizing how amazing and dynamic her voice is a great quality about the movie.
Right.
But the story, and like, it's not really all that believable.
What's the story?
Well, he's a big country singer, like country rock singer. He's like a Garth Brooks kind of dude, you know?
All right.
He's a massive hit, and he discovers her, and like very, very quickly, like boom, 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 like gets his meat hooks into her and turns her into virtually like an overnight star, you know? And then like the agent gets a hold of her and propels her career forward with the pop side of it, you know?
Sounds good so far, but wait.
Well, it's just then of course, those two end up getting married and in a relationship. Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga's character, you know. And he's got a lot of problems with alcohol and drugs and depression and anxiety and stuff. So I can't give any spoiler alerts, but the whole, like, for me, the takeaway at the end was like, yeah, I've been there, done that, seen this story a bunch of times. So when I see, like, big cinema or novels written or authors on talk shows and they're like, this is truly profound and groundbreaking. And I'm like, no, not really. They're just the first person who's capitalized on it and brought it into the mainstream. So they get all this attention, you know?
How about First Man? About the first...
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to see that. Do you want to go see that now?
I think I've already seen it. Wasn't it called The Right Stuff?
Is it as long as The Right Stuff?
God, I hope not. It's 2 hours and 1 minute long.
Oh, then I would go see it.
Oh, no, wait a minute. 140. Yeah, 2 hours and 21 minutes long.
So it's a shorter version of The Right Stuff.
By 40 minutes.
Well, that's right enough for me. I go see it. Right Size. That's my other nickname, you know, Right Size Roger.
Right.
And it's not in any reference to my, you know, junk.
Why is that?
It's a whole nother recovery thing. Like right sizing my ego and my crazy wild imagination with like virtue based living.
Right.
Right sizing Roger, you know.
Speaking of recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say you just get out of recovery,
mm-hmm,
and you're starting your life all over again.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where's the first place you want to move to?
The first place you want to move to?
Right. Let's see if you can get it right.
If I can get it right?
Yeah. Is a right and a wrong answer.
You get out of recovery, like out of a center, a facility?
Yes.
And where's the first place you should move to?
Right.
Not this fucking house.
I'll tell you who where.
Okay.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Why Indianapolis, Indiana?
Because that's where my good buddy Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty sells houses. Indianapolis, Indiana. So if you just dried out and you don't have a lot of money in your pocket, more than likely your wife has left you with the kids.
You son of a bitch.
You have no idea where they are. And you're just looking to reset. Not particularly proud of your academic record. Virtually no savings. Indianapolis, Indiana is where it's at. And you want to look up Paul Lambie over at Carpenter.
Does that mean then you immediately have to get a job at UPS too? Is that what you qualify for, is to work at the hub in Indianapolis?
I think you'd be
UPS?
Working at a Speedway gas station.
Speedway?
And if you can get a job at Speedway.
Hey, how do you feel about the new inclusion of Speedway taking over SA now?
We can get to that, but we got to finish up. If you can get yourself any job in Indianapolis, Paul can get you a house. Won't be the greatest neighborhood, probably, but he can get you a house.
Is he sponsoring this?
He is, in a way.
Oh, then I strongly encourage, yes, for people to at least consider moving to...
Go ahead and say it. Moving to where?
You should definitely move to Indianapolis, Indiana. Thanks for the money.
For the job opportunities alone, spark plug plants are hiring.
Okay,
now.
Good. Fantastic.
Carrier is hiring now.
Yeah, I haven't driven through and been in all the states in the United States, but I've been in that one a few times, and it's probably the one that I've never wanted to return to.
So on that note, Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty, he'll get you a house you may not want to return to.
Or you might relapse in.
You could relapse in the basement of that house. It'll be a nice house, though. I'll guarantee you that. Paul Lambert.
That is true. Anybody that Mike is endorsing usually has great character, and they have a good motive behind why they're trying to help somebody out and get their own thing going.
So we've been at this an hour and 10 minutes. Is there anything else you want to get into, or are we through here? Are you spent?
You don't want to talk about Speedway?
Oh, you want to talk about gas stations in Minnesota?
No. Do you know how active and stupid my mind is at the same time? Let me ask the question and hear the answer first. Do you actually want to know how active and insane my mind is?
Why not?
Okay. How many dorks would do this?
Okay.
Other than me. I actually went out of my way and called the customer relations department last week for Speedway, and I said in the message that I had to leave, I'm not interested in the whole dynamic of who bought out who and the corporate side of why all the Super Americas are Speedways now, but I just want to say to whoever is listening to this, and if it's worth anything at all, your logos and your signs are so bland and boring that I find them just really dismissive of my interest.
What makes their logo any more boring and bland than, say, McDonald's with the golden arches?
Have you seen the founder?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It kind of spells it out. I mean, it's McDonald's, so you're comparing apples to oranges, you know? McDonald's, that's the end.
Well, what was so great
founder.
About the Super America signs? It was an S and an A on a sign.
Well, I mean, it's patriotic, and so people feel like they're contributing to patriotism when they went there.
They weren't.
I didn't ever feel like that because I'm not much of a patriot. But nevertheless, I mean, it was subtle, it was simple. You didn't think much of it, but you certainly didn't recognize how bland it was.
Uh-huh.
I definitely recognize how bland the Speedway logo is.
Did anybody get back to you?
Of course not. I did get a gas card, though, in the mail from them.
Oh, nice.
I think, actually, though, it sincerely increases my loyalty to Holiday now, though.
Right.
I will go. I have an SA right across the street from my house. I will go out of my way to go all the way down to Diamond Lake Road and Nicollet Avenue for the Holiday instead of going right across the street. And when I say all the way, that's 8 blocks further away.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, I like that Holiday is from Minnesota, so I'm a big fan of, like, support your local neighbor vendors. You must like that being back in Minneapolis.
Right. I love living in Minneapolis.
Yeah, you've got the little mart right on the corner there of 34th.
Crackdown
Market. Crosstown. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you can get anything in there, right? You can get your Fanta. You can get your pork rinds.
Yes. You can't buy bacon, though, because it's Muslim-owned, so there's no pork.
That's not true.
That is true. They only sell beef bacon.
Are you serious?
100%.
I didn't realize that Muslims actually chose to do that even with their stores. They refuse to have pork products in their store?
They do.
Wow. That's pretty cool, actually.
Well, yeah, good for them.
Well, that they would sacrifice, like, revenue to stand by their virtues. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, you know, support your local business and Holiday is and Speedway. It's just, like, immediately irks me, you know? It's like that whole idea of, like, another big corporation bought out. They must have been failing or something. Super America?
I can't imagine. You think Holiday was pushing them out?
Boy, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they were. But do you remember that Super America pushed out 7-Eleven back in our day?
I don't even remember a 7-Eleven ever being in the
Are
Twin
you serious?
Cities. No, I don't remember one.
Oh, we had a whole bunch of 7-Elevens. There was one right on the corner of 35th and Bloomington.
Really?
Yeah. It was there for a long time.
Wow. Wow.
It was there until I was at least like 10. We lived on 34, 33rd in Bloomington.
Wow.
I remember going down there, and then I think for a while, too, it was called like one of those Super USAs.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few of those.
Yeah. And now it's, I think, some affordable housing.
Can I bounce on something that you mentioned earlier and I didn't really
capitalize?
Get into?
Yeah.
You said that you were exposed to some celebrities as a youth.
Yeah.
Tell me a story from
Steve Guttenberg, Woody Harrelson, Bruce Willis, and Demi Moore. They were awesome.
They're at your house?
No, they're actually, they were never at my house. I was just out in public. But what I got to see of them, like interacting with them, they were, I don't know. You know when you like sort of are starstruck? And you just kind of think, like, oh, just be normal and not be weird and freak out. And in both, in three situations, all of them invited me to sit down and hang out with them, you know, and wanted to, like, actually get to know me and, like, have a shared dialogue in all three instances. And I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
What was Steve Guttenberg like?
I thought he was dreamy. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking of Short Circuit, though, and I was thinking of Three Men and a Baby. What are some other great Steve Guttenberg?
You should have asked him about the
Police
Ghost.
Police Academy.
Police Academy for sure. You should have asked him about the ghost in Three Men and a Baby. You ever seen the ghost?
Oh, yeah, they say that there was a ghost behind that. There was the clip even of it being in the drapes, right?
I've seen
it. The one scene in the frame?
Right.
Okay, why would I ask him, and why does that matter?
I don't know. He might have a little
insight. Is this a new discussion about ghosts? Do I believe in ghosts?
Well, it's,
do you believe in ghosts?
Well, here's what I like to do when people ask me questions like that. I'm going to draw for you, Mr. Wells, a...
Is that my pen?
Yes, I have your pen. I'm going to draw for you a circle. Now, the circle represents all the knowledge in the universe. Okay, and out of that circle... How much of that do I understand? Maybe this much. And I'm drawing a very small little line at the top. So then you've got all
this.
You're
giving a lot of credit to yourself, too.
You've got all this other room in the circle of shit that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So could there be ghosts? Sure. Why not? I've never seen one.
So you're kind of like, it sounds like you and I share a similar philosophy that Bill Maher did in Religious. I'm preaching the gospel of I don't know.
Pretty much.
I love that. I love when he says that. I'm preaching the gospel of I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of that mentality of convincing myself and others on a regular basis of how little we actually know. So I don't know either. Do I think it's possible? Of course. Have I personally hung out with a ghost? No. Do I think Casper's kind of an asshole? Yeah. I think he's obnoxious. I think him and Caillou can...
I was just going to say Caillou. Everybody fucking hates Caillou.
Okay, have you seen those YouTube videos of Caillou as a 22-year-old?
No.
Oh, it's funny, man. You should really watch it. There's also one of Dora as an adult, too.
Really?
Great satire. Really fun, yeah.
Maybe I should play one on the show.
I love, you know...
Is it a sight gag, or could you do it with just the audio?
No, you could do the audio.
All right, hold on a second.
Okay, let's pull up Caillou as a 22-year-old. I want to thank everybody, by the way, for joining in on the show, and I'm pretending to be the host right now while Mike is grabbing the video. I think it's a really brave venture for anybody to decide and grab the bull by the horns and run anything for themselves. A new podcast, a blog, just getting involved, you know, instead of just sitting around with our hand down our pants watching the next fucking Netflix show.
Oh, my God, I'm hard right now. Thank you for all the compliments.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug your business?
Yeah, sure. So RogerWellsMagic.com, that's the website. As I said, for 28 years I've been performing, and also, let's see, you can find me on Facebook at Roger Wells Magic. You can find me on Instagram and just through my website. But no, I predominantly specialize in wedding receptions, weddings during the social hour and during the dinner period. And then I also do and want to continue doing a lot of work for recovery facilities, school assemblies, motivational speaking, at any kind of gathering or function where you think.
And how can they get a hold of you?
Through RogerWellsMagic.com, or you can email me at magic, that's with a K though, M-A-G-I-K, magicmoments@gmail.com, or you can also call me if you choose to do so at 952-393-1728.
Right on. What did I learn today? I learned so much about addiction. I learned plenty about divorce and Tinder and movies. I just learned a ton. Too much to even get into. And I think we're just going to go ahead and end the show. This is Caillou, the popular children's show, but Caillou as a 22-year-old. Enjoy, and thanks for listening.
Now I'm 22. Each day I think it's cool. I never grew up. I'm Caillou. Caillou. Caillou, I'm Caillou. That's me.
Caillou needs a job. What's that, Daddy?
Just looking into getting in some new car insurance.
I want car insurance too, Daddy.
Well, Caillou, I was hoping you'd be able to afford your own by now.
All right, Caillou, I'm going to the store.
Okay, Mommy, I don't want to go to the store. I want to stay with Daddy.
No, it's good. You should... Don't stay here.
What's wrong, Daddy?
You're a grown man, Caillou. Can you stop calling me Daddy?
But, Daddy, I love you.
I love you too, Caillou, but you're not really progressing the way that we'd hoped.
What's that mean, Daddy?
It means you're the worst, Caillou. Duh.
Hey, Dad, can I vape in here?
No, Rosie, can you just take it outside? But your sister's right, Caillou. Your whole act is just getting old and tired.
What should I do, Daddy?
I don't know. Go get a job?
I'm gonna go to my room, Daddy.
So Caillou went up to his room to use his imagination.
I'm gonna be a businessman. Work, work, work. All I do is work. Ooh, coffee break. Come on, someone give me a cup of coffee. Hold my calls, Janet. This is gonna be a long one. I'm on a deadline here, people. Come on, come on, come on. I'm the bestest businessman in the whole wide world.
Caillou, you made our company more money than anyone.
Yahoo!
I'll have the project due by Friday, Mr. Bossy.
Caillou, are you in there? Caillou! Caillou, I know you're in there. Open the door. Hello? Caillou! Open the door! Caillou! Open the goddamn door! Oh, okay, Caillou, we need to have a serious discussion.
What's wrong, Daddy?
I think your mom and I f***ed up.
What did you f*** up, Daddy?
Enough! Just, Caillou, shut up. Your sister Rosie is right. You are the absolute worst person I've ever met in my life.
Don't say that, Daddy.
God, how could your mother and I have been so stupid? You're whiny, spoiled, immature. You're just a real dumpster fire. And I blame myself.
Aw, don't blame yourself, Daddy.
Caillou, that's enough. You have to get a job.
Caillou didn't like Daddy telling him he needed a job.
No, I don't want a job.
Jesus, stop it.
I don't want to.
You have to get one.
If you make me get a job, I'll kick your ass, Daddy.
Are you threatening me?
Yes, Daddy.
You're a monster.
I'm the monster you made, and I will ruin you.
Using threats, Caillou got his way again.
Fine! You don't have to get a job. Yet.
Yay! Thanks, Daddy! You're the best!
I never grew up, I'm Caillou. 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 I'm Caillou.
That's me!